Down here my burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet grow weary and so sore. But a brighter day is coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow. And I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over and I've said my last goodbyes, I'm gonna see my Savior standing at the door. Then I'll hear him say, "You're welcome. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I will rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry anymore."
Deuteronomy chapter 33. Again, I want to look at these verses. I'll read them through one more time here. Just follow along, please, there in your Bible, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 33. "And of Asher, he said, 'Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. They shall say, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.'" Now, there are many power-packed phrases in that passage of Scripture, aren't there? Many things that jump out. But the phrase that has jumped out at me that I'm going to focus on this morning. I've preached from this passage before a few years ago. But the phrase that jumps out at me this morning for, I think, the need of this hour and the need of many people, I think, in our midst today is the phrase given, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so I want to speak from that phrase this morning. As I read it and reread this passage, there's a lot of rabbit trails I want to go down, but I'm going to try to keep on point with this passage. As thy days. As thy days. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for the fulfilling of thy Holy Spirit upon me this morning. Lord, that you'd take me, use me, hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to each heart, fill us all, challenge us, strengthen us, that we would be what you want us to be in this day, in this hour. Bless now this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God had used Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt, and that's no small phrase, no small feat. God had used Moses to come back from tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. I don't blame him for wanting to go somewhere else, amen. But God called him to go back and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, a land that had become a land of bondage. It was a land of escape for a little while, wasn't it? Was it not for them? When they were without corn and wine and in the land of Canaan, and God sent them down into Egypt where he had sent before them Joseph to preserve them, and they found corn and wine in Egypt, and they were blessed and satisfied. Their needs were met. But after 400 years, the times changed. The attitude toward the children of Israel had become one of contempt, one of fear, and one of control. We hate these people. We fear what they might do. And Pharaoh began to control them and had enslaved them. And so God had used Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt, a picture of our redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ, our deliverer. And through Moses, God had given the children of Israel, after they'd come out of Egypt, God had given them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. People in our day need to be taught God's standard of conduct all over again. When I was growing up, everybody learned the Ten Commandments, whether they were saved or lost people. Religious people learned the Ten Commandments. They knew them. Exodus chapter 20 gives us them. Let's just look there at a moment. Would you look at them with me for just a moment? Exodus chapter 20, they're also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and they're also given, some of them are given in Romans chapter 13. But let's look at Exodus chapter 20. I memorized these first 20-some of verses years ago. I can say most of them, but I'll read them. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And just let me interject something with that verse there. The Bible says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If you name the name of Christ but don't live for Christ, you're in essence taking his name in vain. And so thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. People ought to be careful how they use God's name and what they ascribe to God's name. Amen? And D-A-M-N at the end of God is not the biggest issue. It's that you use God's name wrongly. Right? You know, sometimes people use just the phrase, oh my God, and it's just taken lightly, glibly. Don't use his name in vain. Amen? If you're referring to God's name, do it reverently. He is God. He is God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. How many days? Okay, not ages. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Do we keep the Sabbath day? Yes, we do. The Sabbath pictured the rest that we enter into through the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We've ceased from our own labors. It was a shadow of things to come. And we've entered into the rest, the eternal rest in Jesus Christ. He, Christ, is our Sabbath. Yet there is a principle there that we do observe and should be observed, but has been forsaken in New Testament in our days, and that is that Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. New Testament Christians gathered together on the Lord's day. Paul preached to them even past midnight at times. I'm not going to follow that example. Everybody said amen, right? But, you know, the New Testament Christians, Constantine did not make Sunday the day that Christians come together. The Apostle Paul and others gathered together on the Lord's day and proclaimed the teaching of the Word of God, edifying the saints. And today is still the Lord's day, and we're not going to quit having church on the Lord's day so that we can sleep in on Sunday, instead have it on Saturday night so we can do our own thing on Sunday. It's the Lord's day, amen? And we stop and reflect and we think about God and we come together on the Lord's day and we hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's the Lord's day. Honor, verse 12, thy father and thy mother. And by the way, I'm not saying Sunday is the Sabbath. So New Testament Christians come together on the Lord's day, the day of the resurrection, the Sunday. Honor the verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That would stop a lot of rebellious activity, wouldn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother. Children need to be taught. Honor thy father and thy mother. You want to live long? Honor thy father and thy mother. You want to die early? Don't honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. First commandment with promise, it says later on in the New Testament, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want things to endure. You want things to prosper. You want life to last as long as possible. Then honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Whether it's in the womb or just before the tomb, thou shalt not kill. Amen? Thou shalt not kill. Life is holy. God gives life. He's the giver of life. And it's a tremendous slap in the face and a disrespect to God to take a life that God has given. Abortion is sin. It's wrong. It's killing. It's taking a life. And euthanasia is wrong. It's taking a life. And anything in between where we choose to take the life of another because we don't like or we are mad at or something, we take someone else's life, that's thou shalt not kill. Somebody says, well, what about military. God uses the military of governments to protect its citizens. And that's a different ball game. That's a different ball game. They're not on equal territory. Here, thou shalt do no murder, commit, thou shalt not kill. To premeditate and hate somebody in your heart and take action and take their life. Or to just take their life because you don't think they have the right to exist. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. We have too many people today not satisfied with what God has planned for them. Amen? And all, adultery has to do with someone being with one who is not their spouse. But I think the idea of fornication even falls in under that as well, because there's so much premarital sex happening today. How do you know that person's going to be your spouse? Probably won't be, and therefore you've committed adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's sin today like it was in the Bible days. It's a forgivable sin, yes. Jesus Christ died for all sin, but it's sin. And our society, boy, I tell you what, they have sure thrown away the principles of God's Word, right? But the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. If it don't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you. Leave it alone. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's yours. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. My dad used to say, though your teeth be false, let your tongue be true. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then verse 17, thou shalt not covet, generically, but thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And just, if you think it was just man speaking, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. There was a fear of God because this is what God said. Through Moses, God had given the Israelites the Ten Commandments. Let's remind one another and remind people around us that God still has that expectation upon people. God had displayed His power through Moses numerously throughout the 40 years that they journeyed in the wilderness. We can't even begin to go there and follow that rabbit trail. All the different things that had happened 40 years in the wilderness. And now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 33, just before Israel advances into the land of Canaan, Moses was giving inspired, by inspired I mean not inspirational necessarily, I mean God breathed. The Bible word inspired means God breathed. God was giving inspired, God breathed blessings upon the 12 tribes of Israel just before his own death. You know, it's interesting. Life goes on when we go on home. When God uses us in this life and takes us home, God's people still have to go on obeying the Lord. One day I'll be gone. My dad's gone. Loved ones that we know are gone, but we're still going on. And God gave the Israelites inspired blessings, demonstrating that God expected them to go on and experience His blessings, though he, Moses, would be gone. The last three verses of this chapter that we read refer to Israel as a whole, calling Israel Jeshurun, or meaning the upright one. Israel is made upright because God made him upright. We're upright in the Lord because God has made us upright by faith in Christ. And calling Israel Jeshurun, the upright one, what great promise there is found in verse 27. Look at it again. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. and shall say, destroy them. What a great verse. What a great truth for us in that verse. And we'll come back to it at the close of the message. However, right now, I want to focus upon the blessing specifically that we read that was given to the tribe of Asher. We don't hear that much about Asher, really. Judah is the tribe from which Jesus came. Joseph, his tribe was blessed and divided into Ephraim and Manasseh. But here the tribe of Asher. And I want you to focus upon the blessing that was given concerning the tribe of Asher, because there's great application for us today in this blessing. If you would notice again, please, verses 24 and 25 with me. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Here's some promises he gave them, that they'd be blessed with children. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? You know, God still wants young couples to have children. Amen? They're not a curse, they're a blessing. Especially when I don't have to take care of them all. Amen? But they're a blessing. And he said, I'm going to bless you with children. He said, I'm going to make you acceptable to your brethren. We'll look at that in a second. But what a wonderful blessing given, so that when what you do is acceptable by other brethren that you love in that relationship. He said, I'm going to bless, you're going to put your foot in oil. I think the fruitfulness of his crops. The fruitfulness there. And then the strength on their feet. The strength to tread their enemies underfoot. Victory. Victory for the tribe of Asher. Then a statement's given to them that does come to my mind frequently in various situations. In the last part of that blessing were these words given. Read them with me. Ready? And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. We've sung many times, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Notice, as thy days. That phrase is almost impossible for me to talk about comprehensively in a message. Think of the great diversity of days represented by the different people in this room. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. What an amazing thought, however, to consider for us. Whatever your day is, so shall your strength be. However many your days will be, so will your strength be. God gives strength in the present. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Think of their present mentioned here. They were going to be blessed with children. So there's going to be strength for them to lead, strength for them to teach, strength for them to guide, correct, and guard their children. He said, I'm going to bless you with children, and as your days... so shall thy strength be. Some days are more tedious than others, right? And as children become teenagers and begin the trek toward adulthood, those days become testing. Amen? Has anybody experienced that? You will. But as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God gives strength in relation to our days. My days are different than your days in many ways. But God gives me strength in those days. Your days are different than my days. But God gives strength. Here, blessing them with children, the strength to be what they needed to be for their children. Teaching the generation to come the things that the generation then had experienced and knew about God and passing it on to that generation. I shared with someone this week a little philosophy that I have about ministry, and that is the aspect of running the race of, not the marathon race, but the, it just eludes me, the race where they pass the baton. What's it called? Thank you. Why don't you, somebody preach for me this morning, right? The relay race, okay? And they have a baton that they pass. And that baton that is passed is only handled by the people in the relay race. The person takes that baton and hands it to the next person as he's running briefly with him, lets go of that baton, and the other person grabs that same baton. He doesn't stop, examine the baton, and say, oh, I think I need to tweak this baton. I think a better, different color would be wonderful. Someone got some spray paint? Oh, I think it should be a little longer, a little shorter, a little smoother, a little rougher. He doesn't do that. He takes the baton as it was handed to him, and he holds it so very carefully and strongly, and he runs the race, and then he comes to the next guy, and they run momentarily side by side. He hands that same baton onto that person. That person does nothing with the baton to change it. He takes it as it is, and he runs the race. And then he hands it to the last person running beside him momentarily, takes that baton, grabs it so strongly that he won't drop it, doesn't stop to look at it, doesn't stop to re-examine, doesn't stop to think and say, well, the first people that had it really, they didn't have the baton right. I need to change the baton. Doesn't do that. He takes the same baton and he runs that race as fast as he can to beat the other guys to the finish line. And that's the ministry, amen? That's what he says, your strength shall be with your children, to take what God has taught you and given to you, and you hold it with your kids as you run with them ever so temporarily. Life is short. Our life is a vapor that appears for a short time, then vanishes away. And for that short time, we take that baton and we hope they grab onto that strongly and don't drop it, but they better not change it. Our church better not change the baton. Amen. God gives strength when we're blessed with children, and strength to make us acceptable to His brethren. The strength, I think, to deal with the relationships that we have. One of the signs of Christ's disciple is to have love for the brethren. Amen. And certainly we ought to have that, and God gives us the grace, the strength to deal with relationships that we have in the Christian life. Relationships are not there to be discarded. They're there to be built and guarded. God blesses making acceptable to His brethren with fruitfulness of His crops. Here, the strength to prosper in what we do. You know, prosperity is what God does. We sow the seed, God gives the increase. And it's up to God how He wants to prosper, but He will prosper. If we sow our seed sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. That's a biblical principle. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God will give you strength that you can bear fruit in that which you're sowing for the Lord. It may toil a while, may take time, but there will be fruit. And then the last thing here quickly about them is strength on their feet, making their shoes brass, able to tread down their enemies underfoot. That's a blessing here. God give, and the verse comes that as your days, so shall your strength be, the strength to tread their enemies underfoot. God help Christians not to concede to the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. God gives us strength to conquer strength to have victory over our spiritual enemies from within and from without. You know what they are in your own life, the workings of sin in our own flesh. Let no man say when he is tempted that he's tempted of God, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? Lust and entice. Why is your day, so shall thy strength be. Strength on your feet to step on those things that are against you. This promised blessing here gives assurance of God's strength for each day as each day comes. We often approach our days to come asking, how can I ever get this done? Or we approach it, how can I ever accept this horrendous situation that I face? Or how can I face this circumstance that's being thrown at me? Or we'll say this about our days, if such and such ever happened, I could never, dot, dot, dot. You ever said that? Boy, if this ever happened, I'm thinking right now of one time I said, if such and such ever happened, I would, dot, dot, dot. It did happen, and I did not, dot, dot, dot. If such and such ever happened, I couldn't handle the loss of, name it. I couldn't handle the health need. I couldn't handle the broken fellowship or relationship. Listen, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I remember approaching basic training in the Army. 17 and a half years old. Raise your hand if you're 17 here this morning. Anybody 17? Wow. Somebody have a birthday real quick, right? Okay. How about 16? Raise your hand. 16, okay. Now, how about 18? Raise your hand. 18, okay. So that age group. Remember approaching basic training with fears, how can I do it all? You know what I found? As my days, so was my strength. We used to say, keep picking them up and putting them down, right? I remember looking forward into Bible college days. I did not want to go to Bible college. I think young people would confer with us. We don't like school, right? I hated school. If they only knew how smart I was, they would think I didn't need to go. And I remember looking forward into going into Bible college and wondering, will I be able to meet my family's needs? Will I be able to learn the material and do the work and work a full-time job? But I found, as my days, so was my strength. As I've faced with kids growing up, the responsibility of guiding children to the Lord and to responsible spiritual adulthood, I often asked, how will I ever be able to? And as our days, so shall our strength be. I've often wondered what I would do if this or that particular thing happened in my life as I've dealt with others. And what I've found out and continue to experience is the truth. God gave Asher, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The Lord's let me walk with and observe many Christians through unbelievable circumstances, even Christians sitting in this room here this morning. To ask them, what would they be able to endure before they faced the circumstance they did? None would have said they had the strength to endure what they faced. But each one has found the word of God true, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I can't help but think about Brother Greg, to be facing what he's experiencing right now with the cancer in front of him like it is, like the doctor said. But you know one thing I'd say, Brother Greg, as your days, so will your strength be. Amen. Whether it's losses, whether it's health issues, whether it's heartbreaking circumstances, as thy days, so shall thy strength be, no matter what it is. God promised, simply, strength as our days. The strength for me is not strength as your days, it's strength as my day. The strength for you is not strength as my day, but strength for your day. There are several points I want to ponder here quickly connected with this phrase. First of all, God gives strength according to present need. God gives strength according to present need. I mean, there's people here that have gone through circumstances or are going through, and I just wouldn't feel I wouldn't have the grace to do it because, well, I'm not in that present need. I heard about two preachers that were flying in a plane and there was rough circumstances up in the air. You ever been there when the plane kind of bounces around a little bit? They hit the potholes as they fly across Michigan. And one preacher said, boy, I'm kind of worried about this plane going down. The other preacher said, that's not going to go down. Well, how do you know? He says, I don't have dying grace. Amen? I don't have dying grace. I've watched people. When that time does come, and found there's a peace that passes all understanding as people that know the Lord walk across the threshold into eternity. God gives strength according to the need. And we all have different needs. What is your need this morning as your day today? So shall thy strength be. God gives strength according to what the need is in your life right now. Not projected need. You know, I get a kick out of people always wanting to live in future projections. We have no clue about the future. We can only guesstimate certain things. But what we have the promise is God will supply our need, and presently, as our day, so shall our strength be. It will be. God gives strength according to need. Secondly, God gives strength according to the circumstance. Every day's strength that's needed varies upon circumstances that are being experienced. So whatever it is that you're facing, the strength is equal to that need. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That one. That time. That circumstance. That person. I've tried to have strength for other people in their circumstance, but I found the strength I have for them in their circumstance only helps me to think they should have strength in that circumstance. That strength has to be their promise, has to be their claim, has to be their experience. And by the way, that's what preaching's all about, is to try to take the truth of God's Word and bring it to people so that people make it their own, so that this promise given to Asher becomes my promise in my situations, my circumstances, and this promise given to Asher becomes your promise in your circumstances, that as your day is, so will your strength be. Whether it's to have victory over sin, whether it's to guide your children, whether it's to have the right relationships, whether it's to prosper and keep working at what God's given you to do and letting Him prosper, whatever it is, Whatever your day is, whatever your circumstance is, God will give you the strength you need for your circumstance. Song we used to sing as kids, every promise in the book is what? Mine. We have to make it that way. God gives strength according to the need. Secondly, God gives strength according to the circumstance. Boy, there are tremendously difficult circumstances that I have addressed or walked with or viewed in other people's lives and my own. I've found that the circumstances are never greater than God's promise. Something else about this phrase, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God gives strength, this is profound, for today. Amen. Tomorrow's concerns are not a call for today's strength. God does not give us today's strength for the tomorrow that's not here yet. He gives us today's strength for the today that we're experiencing. It's interesting how we want to live in the past. Boy, you know, I've seen and heard of this great thing that God did. Well, what about today? As your days, so shall thy strength be. Or we want to live in the future. Boy, I just don't know how I'll ever be able to. Well, you're not supposed to know that. You'd be God if you did. Right? As your day, so shall thy strength be. God gives strength for today, not for tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, what day is it? Today. God never gives us strength for tomorrow. He only gives us strength for today. The fourth thing here, God gives strength first according to the need, second according to the circumstance, third for today. Number four, God gives strength according to our time of life at that day. I don't need to be overly concerned with whether or not I'm going to have God's help when my strength or God's strength when my health fails. You know why? Because I'm not at that day. When I get to that day, at that time of life, God will give me strength. It's interesting how many people want to do for the day what is not appropriate for the time of life. Young people get in trouble because they want to do for today what's the time of life for an adult. Or adults get in trouble when they want to go back in time and do for today what they wanted to do as teens, but should not be doing as adults. I can't live the lives of someone that's retired and whose health has failed. I've walked through it many times with people. And I've encouraged them to rely on God's strength for their day in that time of life right then. Isn't it wonderful? God is not stuck in one little mode. Okay, I'm going to help you as a teenager. I'm going to help you as a young married person. I'm going to help you in your job. God says, whatever your day is, wherever you are, in whatever time of life you're in it, I will give you strength for that day. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unsaved, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness today. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Isn't it funny how we worry about what isn't? Instead of working on what is by the strength of the Lord today. I can't have joy for tomorrow. I can have joy for today. I can't have strength for tomorrow. I can have God's strength for today. I can't have God's help for tomorrow, but I can have God's help for today. I don't have God's provision necessarily for tomorrow. I have God's provision for today. Each day brings its unique set of circumstances. One of the things that's so interesting to me is how that life becomes more and more complex. Life isn't static. You know, you think, okay, boy, when I'm an adult, this is what I'm going to live. You find it's an ever-changing process. Boy, I've learned these truths. I'm set to go. Yeah, but you haven't experienced these circumstances yet. And how do these truths apply to these circumstances? Well, each day brings its unique set of circumstances, but each day is guaranteed to the child of God. As thy days, so shall thy what? Strength be. Something else about each day. It brings its unique set of circumstances. Also, the Bible tells us God's mercies are new how often? Every morning. Amen? Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. So, boy, I just need God's mercy today. Go to sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. Wake up. Tomorrow morning, you're going to find God has brand new mercies for you for that brand new day with its brand new set of circumstances, with your brand new situation in life, your new life circumstances. God has mercies for you that day. Something else, God's faithfulness is great each and every new day. He's faithful yesterday. He's faithful today. He's faithful forever. In the model prayer, Jesus said, after this manner, do it like this, not necessarily verbatim, but the theme, the thought, the process. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day our what? Give us what? Why did Jesus say that? Because God is not going to give you a pantry full of life supply. He's going to give you today what you need for today. It's based on what you've learned from yesterday, but it's new for today, what you need today. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me that sufficiency that I need today. Only God knew what Asher would face. And he had Moses tell them, Asher, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Can I make an application? Only God knows what we will face each day. I thought about you, Brother Mike, when I prepared this message. I remember the day that Mike called me, said, Pastor, the doctor told me to set my house in order. Thank God he's had mercy and Mike's here with us today, amen? But Mike, God gave you strength for each day, didn't he? Each day. Each day where we are. Only God knows what we'll face each day. I'm glad I don't know. My goodness, if I'd have known all the different circumstances in life that I was going to face, I might have wanted to check out. or check the people out that I didn't want to be a part of that circumstance. Only God knows what we'll face each day, and He says, and His word applies to each of us as much as it did to Asher, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. State of being. As your day is, so shall your strength be. And last of all, then we need to rest in God's strength today. Look, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, please. After he says, as thy days shall be, so shall thy strength be, verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is not just the God of today. He's the God of eternity. So every day, we who are stuck in time, every day we experience, we get to experience the promises of the eternal God, where one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. He's eternal. Our circumstances change, our needs change, but God never changes. He's the eternal God, and underneath us are the everlasting arms. He'll carry us through every day, casting all your care upon Him. The eternal God is thy refuge. You need a hiding place today. Find it in God. You need strength to hold someone to hold you up with their arms. Find that strength in God today. Our strength each day rests on the One who's eternal, and His strength is everlasting. That covers every day you could ever experience. We sang as a kid, and I think the kids sing it sometimes now. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine alway. And all that I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine alway. Where do you think that phrase in that chorus came from? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, though the path be dark and gray. Many things about the future I don't try to understand, for I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. What about your eternal day? If you died without Jesus Christ, you leave life for eternity. The eternal God wants to be your refuge and give you eternal life so that you can go to heaven, not hell. What about your destiny? Call on Jesus today to save you, believing that He died and rose again for you. Then all your future days are in His care. Say the phrase with me, ready? As thy days, so shall thy strength be.